you would, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 15. When you find your place in John, if you would, please stand and we'll give reverence and honor to the reading of God's Word. A few hours before Jesus would step onto the battlefield of Calvary to sacrifice and give his life for the sins of the whole world, he is in the upper room with his disciples. And Jesus has just humbled himself and knelt down and washed the disciples' feet. And now, just a few hours before his death, he is sharing his final words with them. And I believe they are fitting for this Memorial Sunday. John 15, verse 13. Jesus said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." And Father, we do thank you for this day that for many, many, many years our nation has set aside as a day to not forget, as a day to remember, Lord, the price that has been paid by our men and our women in the military and in public service. And Lord, today we are so grateful that we still live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Thank you, Jesus, for the United States of America. We are grateful and we are full of gratitude. And I pray today that our thanksgiving would be elevated from reading your word, from worshiping with your people, and Lord, from getting a proper perspective from Scripture on how we should approach such a day. And Lord, we pray that you would receive all the honor and all the glory, for you are the Lamb, the sacrificial, spotless Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And so we love you, and we thank you that you chose to love us first. In your name we pray, amen. Please be seated. If you would look at verse 9 in John 15, if you have a red letter edition Bible, you will notice that all of this portion of Scripture is in red. This is Jesus speaking himself. I was listening to a message this week by a preacher, and he said, "When you open your Bible, God opens his mouth." And then when you see even the words in red, it is the words of Jesus himself, and so I believe we will be blessed by it today if we will let these words, as Jesus instructed us, to sink deep into our ears. I want to first mention that we need on a day like today to remember the love. Remember the love. Look at verse 9. It says, "As the Father, as the Heavenly Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide," which is the word to dwell, or the word live. So dwell, abide, live in my love. And when we think about our patriots and those who have given the ultimate sacrifice, you see it on your notes there from President Garfield. And he said, because of love, they were willing to accept death. And I'm so grateful this morning. My great uncle, Jake Lindsay, My great-grandparents' only begotten son died on the sands of Iwo Jima, giving his life for our freedom. And he did it out of love, love for family, love for freedom, love for liberty, love for God, love for country. And I don't want to, especially on a day like today, I don't want to forget that. Shirley Frost's dad came home from the war, his body draped in his casket with an American flag. We don't want to forget that. So today is extra tender for Shirley. And many of you have maybe a father or a mother or a brother or an uncle or a grandfather who gave the ultimate sacrifice. And we need to remember the love. It was done out of love, duty, but a deep love for our country. Everything that we talk about today, though, ultimately rests in the person of Jesus. And so you need to remember the love of God. We all know that hymn, the love of God would drain the oceans dry if you could put the oceans in a pen and make the sky a quill of parchment made. Could the scroll contain the whole if stretched from sky to sky? And the answer is no. The love of God is unconditional and it is endless. And so Jesus, I just want to encourage you this morning that Jesus loves you. And no matter where you've been or what you have done, I had a very dear friend. Many years ago, I was working in the front chapel. He came in at nighttime. I think it was a Saturday night. I was cleaning, preparing for Sunday. He comes in. He had, prone to wander. He wandered far away from God. He came in on his motorcycle wearing a black jacket, black leather jacket, and he just sat down as I was cleaning and began to weep. And I went over and put my arm around him, and I said, listen, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter who you have become, you are not so far gone that the blood of Jesus cannot redeem you and save you and the grace of God to forgive you. And so this morning we need to remember the love. And if you're unfamiliar with Scripture or with what following God is all about, the most well-known Scripture in the Bible is John 3:16 that says, for God so, fill in the blank, loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his only begotten soldier, that whosoever would believe in him should not have to perish on the everlasting battlefield, but instead he would be the propitiation, the substitute for the sins of the whole world. And through his sacrifice, through his love, you and I can have everlasting life. Amen. So remember the love. And the way that I will continue, and the way that you will continue to win freedom for our nation, for our children. Are you concerned, young families, about the condition of our nation and what your kids will grow up in? I am. You should be. And the way that, one of the ways that we retain and keep our liberty and our freedom in this nation is to have a deep love and gratitude for what we have and for what our forefathers went through and the price that was paid in the war, the Revolutionary War, and all of the wars since, is to have a love. And then how do we maintain or how do we gain spiritual freedom and liberty for our lost loved ones and our friends? And that is to have a deep love and gratitude for them that God has placed in our hearts for the lost, which is called the Great Commission. And as you were standing and saluting the American flag this morning, no doubt you recognize the Ten Commandments. The second tablet is all about loving others. You love God and you love others and you fulfill the Great Commission. We used to sing early days of this church. We would sing, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I always do my part to win that soul for thee. Remember the love. Secondly, remember the commands. Look what Jesus says in verse 10. He said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide, you will dwell, you will live in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I am so grateful. It's always interesting to me to be around a young person or a teen who's a bit rowdy, rebellious, and they get sent to boot camp. And then they go through a couple of years of training, and then maybe they go on some tours out of the country and they fight for a nation. And when they come back, they are not the same. They stand differently. They walk differently. They talk differently. They dress differently. They communicate with you differently. And there's a lot of yes, sirs. In fact, I was watching, is it Chris Kyle, the sniper? I watched a video of him last night being interviewed by a talk show host, and he kept saying, yes, sir, yes, sir. And the talk show host said, look, I'm a talk show host. Quit calling me sir. But Kyle had gone and become a world famous sniper against the enemy. But that the military changed even his vocabulary. And I am so thankful for men and women who have gone to battle and been trained by the commands of the United States military generals and presidents of the United States. And because men and women have been willing to surrender themselves and submit themselves to authority and follow leadership, that is the only, one of the only reasons, a primary reason that you and I are able to sit here in an air-conditioned church with lights and padded pews, because many of our brothers and sisters, long before we worshiped this morning, were down in caves in other parts of the world or down in basements with no lights, whispering the scripture because they do not have the freedom that you and I have had. And yet we have the liberty because men and women were willing to obey commands. Soldier, drop down. Give me 50. Yes, sir. Run those miles. Yes, sir. Take that gun apart. Disassemble that gun blindfolded and put it back together. Yes, sir. Take that hill. Yes, sir. Pick up that flag. Yes, sir. Get on the front line. Yes, sir. And it's all about obeying the commands. And we just read, Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. And we are so grateful this morning, all of us, for those men and women who are willing to obey commands in order to gain our freedom. Likewise, Jesus won our spiritual freedom by following his Father's commands. It's just incredible to me that Jesus was willing to come to earth. And the Father says to his Son, who they had fellowship, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and the eternal now. And yet, in God's sovereign time, he said, Son, I want you to go down to earth, be wrapped in flesh, be born of a virgin, and become a human being. Yes, sir. I want you to grow up. And I want you to follow me, and I want you to live a sinless life. And then I want you to pick out 12 ordinary, messed up, sinful, wandering, broken men, and I want you to train them and teach them to be soldiers of the cross. Yes, sir. And then, son, I want you to go and find your cousin John, and I want you to walk out into the Jordan River, and I want you to humble yourself, although you have no sin. I want you to humble yourself, and I want you to go and allow John to baptize you. And I want you to humble yourself. Yes, sir. And then, son, I want you to go and I want you to touch blinded eyes and make them see. I want you to touch deaf ears and let them hear. I want you to raise little girls from the dead. I want you to call out to Lazarus, who had been dead for many days, and call him out of the tomb. Yes, sir. I want you, Jesus, to go to a garden and kneel down. And I'm going to place on you the sins of all humanity, past, present, and future. And I want you to drink the dregs of the cup of sin in that garden. Yes, sir. And then I want you to go and I want you to be unjustly treated in a trial that is unfair. And I want you to be scourged and I want you to be beaten and I want the very hair on your face to be ripped off so that you are unrecognizable, the Bible says, as a human being. And I want you to take the crown of thorns. And then I want you to take that 200-pound cross. And I want you to walk the Via Dolorosa. Yes, sir. And then I want you to lay down on that cross. And I'm going to allow them to put nails in your hands. And put nails in your feet. And you are going to be dropped down in a hole. And you're going to hang there. And you're going to suffer and die on the cross for the sins of the whole world. Yes, sir. And then, son, I want you to stay dead. And I want you to allow yourself to be laid in a tomb. And I want you just to lay still and be dead for Friday and Saturday. And then God the Father goes to the Holy Spirit. And he says, Holy Spirit, I want you early Sunday morning before the sun is up to shake the foundations of the world. And early Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit obeyed the commands and went down and woke Jesus up. And he said, Jesus, my son, I want you to get up and rise from the dead and be the conqueror over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And on day three, Jesus rose from the dead. Yes, sir. And he is Lord. Amen. So remember the commands. There are so many people, there would be some sitting in this room. You have surrendered your heart to Jesus. You have taken that first step to believe in Jesus. But the reason you're not experiencing the fruit of the Spirit is because you have not surrendered your daily life, day after day, to Jesus. And you're not willing to surrender and submit to his continuing commands that you find in his word after you believe on his name for salvation. And Adrian Rogers said, the most miserable person in the world is not a lost person, an unsaved person. The most miserable person in the world is a saved person out of fellowship with God. And it's true. And if you belong to the Lord, he is pursuing you. He's hot on your trail. To say, look, if you really love me, keep my commandments and live. And the way that we will win freedom for our families, for our sons, for our daughters, is by keeping the commandments of God and his word. Although the outward man is perishing, the inward man is renewed. Fill it in day by day. And it is a daily walk. It is not a Sunday to Sunday spiritual experience. It is not an Easter and Christmas experience. It is a daily walk of surrendering to the commands of the Savior. And keep in mind that Jesus said, "My commandments are not grievous or burdensome." I would just tell you, it is a trick of the devil to think that when you surrender to the laws and the commands of God, that you are somehow isolated or you are somehow locked in. It's amazing that when you find out and you surrender and submit to the commands of God, it is what liberates you to freedom. That is where the joy is. And that is next. Remember the love. Remember the commands. Remember the joy that is produced from the love and the commands. Look at verse 11. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have written to you that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. The soldiers, they gave their love. Our soldiers, they obeyed the commands. And because of what they gave and because of their surrender, it has produced joy. We with joy stood this morning and put our hand over our hearts and honored the red, white, and blue because we know what it represents. We did not kneel down. We did not sit down. We stood at attention to honor because we are grateful and we are filled with joy because of what has been done for us. I was thinking this week, and I've tried to be extra mindful this weekend and this week, but especially this weekend of just expressing gratitude to the Lord and to our service men and women. And I had an opportunity to do that yesterday, to thank one of our veterans for the service to this country. But Friday night, I came home after a long, rigorous week of training, and I met Carrie and the kids, and we went into town, and we went to the joint. Don't misinterpret me. I did not say we were. We went into the restaurant, the joint, and my pastor. No, don't do that. We went to the joint, and we enjoyed a meal. And my children ate tater tots, and we had greasy hamburgers, and there was just enjoyment there. Then we went to the park, the new park at Memorial Park. By the way, parents, if you haven't been there, or grandparents, go there. It's phenomenal. There on Mount Vernon Avenue. So we took our kids there, and we just experienced joy. And Carrie and I were climbing and getting dirty looks from the other parents because we're, you know, riding the swings. Anyway, we were just having a joyful time. Then we drove across town, went to Round Hill Dairy, and we got the what's that thing called? Oh, the feed trough. The feed sampler. There's a feed sampler and some kind of a cow trough of ice cream. I don't know. Whatever it was, we got it. And we were enjoying ice cream. But I was just looking around, and I was hearing that night and all day yesterday the sound of the rumble of motorcycles and seeing the flags on the back of them waving in the breeze. And I've just enjoyed and been grateful that the blessing of living in the United States of America and how grateful we should be and the joy that is produced from love for God and country and from obeying the commands. And it has produced joy for me and for my family and for you. And we ought not forget. Because Jesus loved and obeyed the commands, It has produced in me joy unspeakable and full of glory. The world is constantly trying to make themselves happy to no avail. But I would just remind you of what joy, and yes, even happiness, is when you have a God who gives his Son to love us and follow his will. Psalm chapter 1, blessed, happy, joyful. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, his happiness, his joy, his satisfaction, his fulfillment. His delight is in the law and the word of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted, rooted, grounded by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And there is a blessedness and a happiness and a joy that is produced in you when you love God and when you obey the general's commands. So don't forget the joy that is produced from following Jesus. And then lastly, not only do you have the joy, the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life that the Bible says produces love and joy. And peace. Do you have peace this morning? Are you at peace? Are you at peace in your mind? God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Do you have a sound mind this morning? Are you filled with love and joy? Are you not fearful this morning because you have the power of God in your life? So, the joy, don't forget it. And then we need to end by remembering the sacrifice. Look at verse 12 and 13. It says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. What does that look like? Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends. What an incredible statement of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to his children who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. He said, you're not just my child, you are my friend. You are not just my heir, you are my friend. I love you and I like you. The reason thousands, tens of thousands of soldiers are honored today is not just because they loved and not just because they obeyed the commands, but they were willing to go all the way and pay the ultimate sacrifice, give their all and die that you and I can be free. Don't forget that. That is one reason why the older generation living today struggles with the younger generation. And we need both. And yet at times there's a conflict, because one reason is the younger generation. The history books are being rewritten in our colleges and in our high schools, and our children and our grandchildren don't understand the ultimate sacrifice that was paid so they could learn and not be dumb. And now we've got this word, it's incredible, triggered. And now you see on the internet or on the television or on your smartphone these just almost out of their mind, wide-eyed looking young people that have been triggered. One reason is because they have not been taught what has been done for them, and they've been deceived. We need to remember the sacrifice that my great uncle Jake and Shirley's daddy and many of your family members, they earned our freedom through death. And I want to give you a reminder of that this morning. In the 1998 movie Saving Private Ryan, the story begins in 1944 during World War II. 3 days after leading a group of soldiers on D-Day and the invasion on the beaches of Normandy, Army Ranger Captain John Miller is reassigned via the U.S. War Department's sole survivor directive to go find and bring home from battle Private James Ryan, whose three other brothers had recently been killed in the war. During the final battle to save Private Ryan, Captain Miller, along with multiple other soldiers, are killed during the rescue mission. Right before Captain Miller breathes his last breath, he utters to Private Ryan these words, "James, earn this. Earn it." The closing scene of the movie shifts back to Ryan as an old man standing in a military cemetery. Ryan kneels down at the cross, the grave marker of Captain Miller, and he says these words, "Every day I think about what you said to me that day on the bridge, and I've tried to live my life the best I could. I hope that was enough. I hope that at least in your eyes, I've earned what all of you have done for me." We walk in freedom and liberty today in our nation because of the ultimate sacrifice of our brothers and sisters, moms and dads, aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas that have gone on before us. But today, if you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you walk in spiritual freedom because Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on the old rugged cross for your sins and for mine. I want you to see that Jesus earned your freedom. There's nothing, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus today, there is nothing that you must do to win your freedom. It's already been earned for you. All you have to do is receive it. And I want you to turn to Titus chapter 3, and I want to read these scriptures and we'll close. Titus 3, verse 4. Says, "But when," great conjunction starting the verse. Actually, let's start in verse 3. It says, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. We were sinners." Verse 4, "But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared," verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, "but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This," listen now, verse 8, "this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. Command that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men.
So this scripture says that by grace you are saved through faith, Ephesians 2, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And yet, as Ephesians 2 also says, that God made you, he saved you not by good works, but he saved you to do good works. And so God has something for you to do, Christian soldier. And Paul instructs us, be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And so the way that we pay honor and respect to Jesus is that at this time he's not asking you to die. He's asking you to live and to spread his love and follow his commands, which will produce joy in your family and with your co-workers when you do life God's way. So we are touched and we have tender hearts this morning over the scars and the death that has been paid for us by the military of the United States and also by Jesus himself. But what about you? What about you? If you are obedient to Jesus Christ, you will not leave this world unscathed or unbruised or unbeaten, and you will have scars. Do you have any scars this morning? If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you ought in some way to be facing some type of opposition and hardship and difficulty because we are in war. And so Amy Carmichael, who surrendered her life to a life of missions, went away as a young girl and died as an old woman on the mission field. And she writes this short poem as if Jesus was asking you and I a question. And it's one of some of the most powerful words I have ever read. So you check your arms, you check your legs, you check your feet, you check your brow, you check your heart. Is there any evidence of scarring because you have gone to battle for the one who died for you? Hast thou no scar, no hidden scar on foot or side or hand? I hear thee sung as mighty in the land. I hear them hail thy bright ascendant star. Hast thou no scar? Hast thou no wound? Yet I was wounded by the archers spent. Lean me against the tree to die and rent. By ravening beasts that compass me, I swooned. Hast thou no wound? No wound? No scar? Yet as the master shall the servant be, and pierced are the feet that follow me, but thine are whole. Can he have followed far who has no wound, no scar? Would you stand this morning? Lindsay, you come. If you would bow your heads this morning, and I want to encourage you this morning. Tom, if you would mute the computer, please. I want to ask you this morning, what is your level of gratitude and gratefulness? Do you tend to forget what Christ has done for you? And maybe this morning you need to come on Memorial Day and not only be thankful that you live in the United States of America, but you need to be grateful and thankful for the price that Jesus paid for you on the cross. So whatever it may be, this morning, if you need to come, come. Father, as we sing this song, Lord, I pray that our hearts would be filled with gratitude for what our men and women have done for us in this country. And then, Lord, that we would shift our eyes towards heaven and be grateful for for what you have done for our hearts and our everlasting souls. Your will be done in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
People are coming, so come on, let's sing it out.
Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is called. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
Sing this.
Blood of Jesus Christ.
Well, we've just sang it, so let's say it. The word is praise the Lord, which is hallelujah. So if you are filled with gratitude, let's say it together. Hallelujah. Say it again. Hallelujah. One more time. Hallelujah. We are blessed. You're dismissed.
Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found. Be
Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus.